भगवते वासुदेवाय
Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 11, the Universal Form, Text 36. Arjuna Bhuvacha Stane Rishikesha Prakirtya Jagat Jagat Parishyat Yadarajate Cha Rakshamsi Vitani Dishodranti Sarve namasyanti cha siddha sangha. Translation. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful on hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid, and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Arjuna, after hearing from Krishna about the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, became enlightened. And as a great devotee and friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he saw and said that everything done by Krishna is quite fit. Arjuna confirmed that Krishna is the maintainer and the object of worship for the devotees and the destroyer of the undesirables. His actions are equally good for all. Arjuna understood herein. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Arjuna understood herein that when the battle of Kurukshetra was being concluded, in outer space there were present many demigods, siddhas, and the intelligentsia of the higher planets, and they were observing the fight because Krishna was present there. When Arjuna saw the universal form of the Lord, the demigods took pleasure in it, but others, who were demons and atheists, could not stand it when the Lord was praised. Out of their natural fear of the devastating form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they fled. Krishna's treatment of the devotees and the atheists is praised here by Arjuna. In all cases, a devotee glorifies the Lord because he knows that whatever he does is good for all. Arjuna Ravacha, Stane Rishikesha Tavakra Kirtya, Jagat Parishyat Yanirajate Cha, Rakshamsi Vitani Dishodramanti, Sarve Namasyanti Chasiddha Sangha. Arjuna said, O Master of the Senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid, and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. Om Yavitaramasyaki Anjanashalakaya Chakshuramadhyanatasa Shri Kuruvena Shri Chaitanya Vishnu Stapitam Yana Kutales Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svayam Datika Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivedanta
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Well, I'm very happy to be here with you in your new venue, and I hope it all works out nicely here. And I hope you are all happy in Krishna consciousness. And just to get us off to a good start here at our new venue, I thought we would address some fundamental points, foundational points, shall we say, foundational points. Here, as Arjuna says, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, O Krishna. And thus everyone becomes attached to you, except the demons. The demons become afraid and they flee here and there. So, yes, like in Bhagavad Gita, this practice of chanting the holy names is recommended. It's being recommended right here. And not just in this verse, but there are other verses also in Bhagavad Gita in which Lord Krishna advocates the chanting of the holy names. Satatam kirtayanto maam, Krishna says. Yadatascha dridha vrita. Namasyantas chavam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, enduring with great determination and bowing down before me, the great souls always worship me with devotion. Yes, so that's another example. Satatam kirtayanto maam. That the great souls are always chanting the glories of the Lord. We know that in Kali Yuga, the recommended practice is chanting the holy names. Actually, we can experience even. We can experience that there are many activities in Krishna consciousness, but out of all those activities, the activity which gives the greatest exhilaration, excitement, inspiration, enthusiasm, happiness, all these things, that is the glorification of the Lord. Chanting his holy names, telling people about him, distributing information about him, or distributing awareness of him to people. When we do these activities, there's very special experience that we have. You know, the devotees go out in some of the big cities, in the biggest cities in the world, actually. In London, you know, in London, the devotees go out every day, 7 days a week, chanting down the main street of London, Oxford Street. And they have been doing that for like 30 years or so, every day. So they're going out in this big city. It makes Durbs look like a village. Something like that. Blink as you drive through and you'll miss it. Yeah. Anyway, it's a big city, big, dirty, noisy. So many people, so commercial, and so on. And any ordinary person you see, just regular, run-of-the-mill person, you see them wandering down that Oxford Street. They're looking here, there, up, down, around. So many things to stimulate the senses, so many shops, so many people, cows, sounds. But the devotees, they go through every day, as we said, for so many years. They go through chanting, but they're not in a certain important sense. They're not on that street. They're in another world, actually. They're not really experiencing all of that. If they are, it's something like when you look out of a window and you see the world is going by, but you are in your environment. You're not really out there in the middle of it all. So it's like they're looking from another place into another world when they're out chanting like that. Yes. And even though the people walking in the street, if you look at them, they have many problems, many anxieties, many material desires, window shopping, serious window shopping. If I could have this and that and... Yes, just being dragged by their senses here and there. But the devotees are not subject to that. So their whole experience, even in the middle of the city, is very different from the experience of the ordinary people. The devotees are in transcendental bliss. They really are. At least if they are absorbed in that chanting, then doubtless they're experiencing great transcendental pleasure, even to the point that they dance down West Street, Gray Street, and so on. They dance down. Yes, but you don't see other people dancing down West Street. I don't think. Yes, so this is because the holy names are so wonderful, so powerful, more powerful than in any other process. Like, you know, in other ages, there were other processes, which of course we still do those things like silent meditation, like fire sacrifice, like deity worship. We still do those things, but they're not the main thing. That the main thing is this chanting in this Kali Yuga. But why the main thing? Because the impact it has on you, your heart, your mind, you as a being, the impact it has on you is far greater than the impact these other things have on you. Even though they have some impact. And so, like we mentioned, chanting down West Street Saturday morning, but not in West Street, in Vaikuntha with Krishna, looking out and watching West Street going on, but not really being touched by that, rather feeling and experiencing the transcendental experience of spiritual pleasure, relish, of the holy names. So, you know, if you did some other activity, like, can you imagine silent meditation? I don't know if any of you have ever really tried that. Silent meditation, to sit down cross-legged, close your eyes and try and meditate on Om, or the light, or nothing. Or, I don't know, whatever, but something within. Can you imagine West Street, Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, 11:30, and you sit down at the corner of West and what? Gardner, is that a busy spot? Field Street, or, and silently meditate there with deep absorption, while thousands of other people mill around you and speaking and pushing and cars and all the rest of it. Can you imagine doing a fire sacrifice on the corner of what, like just outside the workshop. On what is it? What's that street?
Commercial Road.
Okay, Commercial. Yeah. Or worshipping some deities there. On Gray Street outside Papa Blanc's. Yeah, I don't think it would work very well. Because for these activities you require a certain atmosphere, a certain environment. And if you don't have that, then it's very difficult to focus. And what to speak. And just to focus without being distracted is very difficult. What to speak of becoming deeply immersed so that you just become oblivious to what is going on around you. So, yeah, I think you can just imagine, you get the idea. But this chanting, the chanting of the holy names, even you could be in the middle of it, all the hustle and bustle of the big main street of the big city. But through being immersed in the spiritual sound vibration, you can go way beyond it. Way beyond it. So it just doesn't touch you. So you're really unaffected. And your experience, the reality that you are experiencing, is a transcendental reality of spiritual pleasure experienced via the chanting of the holy names in the company of the devotees. So this is very important thing. So therefore we find that in Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna is recommending this chanting. And you know, we must remember that this Bhagavad Gita is not written in Kali Yuga, it is Dwapara Yuga actually. It's Dwapara Yuga, before Kali Yuga. The conditions have not deteriorated yet when Lord Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita. The conditions were much, much more sattvic and pure at that time than they are now. But still Krishna is recommending that we chant the holy names. Satatam Kirti Yanto. We should always glorify him with transcendental sound vibration. So, and for that matter, in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right at the beginning, what does Lord Krishna say? Imam divasvate yogam protavam aham adiyam vivasvan manave vaha manor ikshrakave pravit. That previously, I spoke the same knowledge to the sun god, Vivasvan. And Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu instructed it to Ikshvaku. Yes, so, this Bhagavad Gita is actually eternal. It is not that it is for Kali Yuga, particularly. It is not that it is for Dwapara Yuga, particularly. It is eternal. It is for every time, every place, every one. Because after all, when Krishna spoke it before to the sun god, that was on the sun planet. And on the sun planet, they don't really have a Kali Yuga. Actually, they have a Kali Yuga. But not like how we have a Kali Yuga. We have a real Kali Yuga. Their Kali Yuga is, they just notice that the conditions, it's not quite so pleasant briefly. That's all. But they don't, it's not like everything falls to pieces and humanity just degrades to a terrible extent, devastating extent. No, it's just some little deterioration. Temporarily, and you just hang in there and it passes and you carry on. On some planet, because it's a heavenly planet. But still, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita there. And exactly the same message, including this point, that we should always chant the glories of the Lord. So, this is a very vital point to get, that it is ultimately, it is not just a matter of Kali Yuga, we must chant in Kali Yuga, but this practice of chanting is always applicable. Always. Actually, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find in numerous, means dozens of places, dozens, many dozens, you'll find different statements about the devotees glorifying the Lord, chanting his names, chanting about his pastimes and all these things. So actually this activity of chanting the glories of the Lord is always the best activity, even in the other ages, is always the best activity. In other ages though, because people have certain natures, just in terms of their own inclinations, they may be more particularly attracted to another activity. Like we mentioned, that silent meditation at Satyayuga, the fire sacrifice of Treta Yuga, deity worship at Dwapara Yuga. That is just in terms of their feeling. But actually the fact is that the chanting of the holy names is actually more effective though, even in those other ages. But they just may not be, they may just be more attracted to something else. But the thing is, in Kali Yuga, the thing is that in Kali Yuga we have no alternative. Yes. We have to do it. We don't do it. Even if we do the other activities, we try and meditate, try and do fire sacrifice, try and worship the deity, and whatever it may be. Even if we do all those things without chanting the holy names, then we'll find we end up going backwards. Not really going forward spiritually. Not really developing. So let us focus on our chanting. Try and chant quality chanting. Of course, quality chanting, that is a rather deep subject. Prabhupada defined quality chanting. Prabhupada said that when you achieve the level where you finish your 16 rounds, and you think, why just 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? You don't want to stop. This is quality chanting. That level of chanting where you chant your rounds and you finish your 16 rounds and then you think, shoo, finished. Good. This is not really quality chanting. This is just hanging in there, chanting. Just sort of holding on. That's all. Yeah. Anyway, better to hold on than not hold on. But actually it would be nice to chant quality chanting. So, you know, of course this is, it takes some time and it takes some application. And it takes some faith and trust in Krishna to be willing to give your mind. Because you know what your mind is like. I don't know if any of you ever have difficulty with your minds. I mean, that your mind is suffering. Like your mind develops a mind of its own. And it decides it wants to go one way, but you know you should be going another way. But your mind is saying, no. Yeah. So, the mind. But if we really, if we develop that faith and that trust in Krishna and that conviction that we know that it is worth it, it is the right thing, and in this way we become inspired to focus and give our attention, then gradually the quality of our chanting will improve and the quality of our experience through chanting will improve. Yes. The richness of the experience will deepen. And this is all very clearly experienced. It's not just a belief. Like you don't believe when you eat a meal. If it's a nice meal, at the end you feel satisfied and stronger and so on. And it is not a question of belief. I believe I am not hungry now. I believe that tasted nice. It is not a question of belief. It's just plain objective experience. So like this, the experience through chanting will increase, improve, and develop. The more we become absorbed, and the more we become convinced and accept Krishna and our position as his servants, then the more we'll be able to accept and become absorbed. Otherwise, if we doubt, then our mind will be everywhere else. And here, Prabhupada and Gurbhot makes very interesting points. Well, yeah, of course it's based on the verse that what Krishna does for the devotees is always good. But he does other things for the demons. Therefore the demons run. The devotees are happy, they embrace the Lord. The demons run away from the Lord. Because the devotees, they know, this is our Lord, how wonderful, we want to be with him. But the non-devotees, they think, oh no, here he comes again, he's after us. Head for the hills. But Prabhupada Mukherjee says that actually Krishna is doing good for the devotees and the demons. But the devotees are embracing and the demons are running. You know, even sometimes Krishna kills the demons. And if you want to do something bad for a person, generally the worst thing you can do is kill them. Generally. But when Krishna kills the demons, it's good for the demons. It's good for them. They benefit. It's the only way really they can benefit. Because they're too fixed in their demoniac ways. So therefore it said, as I'm sure you've heard, when Krishna was good, he was good. And when Krishna was bad, he was good. Yes. So whatever Krishna does, even when Krishna's killing the demons, it is their lucky day. It is their best day. Although on another level, it looks like their worst day. But it's their best day. And what to speak for the devotees? Oh, Krishna's always making arrangements for the devotees. Regularly, regularly. And all for the betterment. But to whatever degree we are still influenced by that, well, ultimately it's demoniac, but at least, let us say, materialistic, you know, not really Krishna conscious consciousness, then we will have the propensity, even though we're devotees, we will still have the propensity, at least under some circumstances, to feel that some arrangement that Krishna has made for us is bad. Yeah. Although actually it's good. Actually it's good. You know, one of the devotees wrote to me a few days ago, and he said, our house was burgled. Fortunately, we were not at home. So people broke in, stole some things. And his wife went into a bit of a flap, and, it's all a disaster. But he was thinking, I'm glad it happened. Because now it's made it clear to me what this world is. You know, it's very easy to be apathetic, complacent. Take it easy, relax. So easy. Yeah. But actually this material world, it is described as being like a forest fire. And who is going to sit around and relax and take it easy in the middle of a forest fire? No one in their right mind. So it is a forest fire, blazing fire of material existence. And Krishna, sometimes to help us understand this, so we then become motivated and inspired to become more engaged in devotional service and less engaged in material activity. And of course, we may have duties for family maintenance and so on, but at least we become more detached from all the material ramifications, even if we're doing material duties. So Krishna makes arrangements so we get some realization. Yeah. And sometimes it may take the form of showing us how the material world is not so nice. And when that happens, if we are inclined to thinking that the material world may be so nice, but then he shows us it is not so nice, then we may think, oh Krishna, oh naughty Krishna, you shouldn't do that. Don't give me a hard time, Krishna. I'm a devotee. He must arrange that everything goes nicely for me. So that, as Prabhupada explains here, whatever Krishna does is good. Even for the non-devotees, they go through so many things. It is for their good to help them realize that I must take up Krishna consciousness. And for the devotees, Krishna puts the devotees through various things. So the devotees understand, I must take Krishna consciousness more seriously. And I must take material life less seriously. So in very simple terms. Very simple terms. But these are the basic principles. So let us try and chant nicely. Let us try and be convinced. Or more convinced, shall we say. Let us try and become more convinced what this material world is and how it should be dealt with by me, like this, and more convinced where I will get my spiritual strength from, which will allow me to deal with it without going under its influence. So let's try and become convinced, really apply ourselves to our chanting, and then we'll see, we'll come to a higher spiritual level. And then you already know Krishna consciousness is nice, therefore, you've all, pretty much all of you have been involved for years. But as you go deeper, then it starts becoming even nicer. And then even nicer. And then unimaginably nicer. And then unbelievably nicer. Until you look back at your material life and you look around at people in material life and you think, my God, how did I ever do that? What was wrong with me? And those poor people, look at them. Oh no. Then real compassion can develop. And then we want to try and help them become Krishna conscious and solve their problems. Okay, so let's work on it and work on our chanting. Is that okay? If you're not chanting 16 rounds, that's okay. We're not trying to pressure you. But you work towards it step by step. Try and take it seriously. Progressively. And if you are doing 16 rounds, work on the quality. There's no end to developing your chanting. You can never come to the point of thinking, right, okay, done that. What's next? No. Deeper and deeper. More quantity, more quality, more wonderful experience. Hare Krishna. And we must distribute some books in the marathon. Is that okay? We were in Berlin one last night. And one family, parents and one daughter, she's 16. They have committed themselves to 320 Back to Godhead subscriptions. Anyway, we'll see. But this is what they want to do. They're into it. And we were in Tongat on Tuesday, and they were saying, yes, we are going to be the top Namahata for the marathon. And then in Berlin last night, they said, we are going to be the top. So I don't know what you're going to say. You can say that. Hare Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada ki.